Okay, we're on. Well, good morning. Thank you for coming. Again, let me just say right off the bat, it doesn't matter whether you're a member or not to be here. It only matters when it comes to the voting for the elders and the deacons and the budget that you have to be a member. And the only reason for that is because if we didn't do that, anybody could walk in off the street, come to the meeting and vote. There's nothing magic about membership. If you've got a Bible church background, I know the word member to you, you know, some of you think, well, we shouldn't have to become members. The only reason we have membership is for the purpose of voting. There are horror stories that I have heard about people coming in to vote on a congregational vote that weren't members, that were brought in just to move certain things a certain direction. And that's why you always want to have only members. And members are people that have gone, for instance, through our newcomers class, where you learn about the church, what we're about, what we believe and such. And that's a protection. And that's an especially important protection today. We had gone back and even changed the Constitution a few years ago just to tighten it up. We were advised to do that by Liberty Institute, Liberty Council, Christian law firms that we support, and that's because of people trying to infiltrate churches and bring in progressive ideas and such. And so that's why we have this notion of you really need to be a member to vote. Okay? So I just want to say that up front. What we do, if this is your first congregational meeting here at Grace, what we do is I just share a few things about this last year as far as some goals we had and how we did attaining those goals for 2021. And then we just talk about a few things for next year. After I do that, then the meat of, say, the congregational meeting is when we have Alan Gilley come up and he talks about the budget and such, as well as presents the elders and the deacons that we will vote on. Okay, so just the very first thing is, hopefully everybody has a handout. Do you have a handout? If not, you can raise your hand. One of these guys at the back will get you a handout. All right. Get my light on here. Oh, I can see. Okay, so first of all, as far as 2021, if you look on your handout, I did point out it was a difficult year. 2020 was really difficult because of COVID and the economy and all sorts of things. 2021, we thought we were going to get past COVID, and we really didn't in some ways. But, you know, the amazing thing is our church really didn't skip a beat financially. And as far as ministry going on, didn't really skip a beat. So we're real grateful for that. But 2021, these were the goals we had going into last year. As far as ministry goals, we wanted to finish a church plant in Uganda with the East Africa Missions. That didn't happen. And the reason why is, again, COVID, you know, stopped everything. We were going to go in early summer, I think it was, June, and boom, couldn't go. Wouldn't let us in. So as a result, that was put on hold. Youth outreach with Galveston Urban Ministries. Johnny, how did that go? Great. It went great. It was a super time, so that ministry was allowed to continue on just like we wanted to. In fact, we got so excited about that. If you're kind of new to the church, we used to go all the way up to Amarillo. I think that isn't Amarillo where the city church ministry was. We did that for several years. It was a big ordeal. And then we started going down to Galveston, much closer, easier, cheaper. And not only that, but there's a real need there. So they're really doing a good work. But that was our goal, and we did that. Add to our monthly mission support. That was a goal. We did that, as I'll point out after a little bit. And then see more people participate in Dinner for H or small groups. Well, that was, I guess that was a pipe dream. I mean, we really thought COVID was gone and things would be get back to normal. But, you know, nobody was really interested in going to a Dinner for H. And a lot of small groups kind of became smaller because of COVID. And then also grow our discipleship program. And, of course, that's typically a one-on-one type thing. And, again, just because of health issues, that tended to slow down a little bit. And then continue our focus on Bible teaching at all levels. That didn't slow down. We continued to have Sunday school. We continued to have church. The youth were meeting. And then we had several little men's groups and ladies' Bible studies. So that continued on. So we're grateful for. As far as facility goals, we wanted to finish renovating the exterior of the Founders Chapel. And if you look out there, you'll see that the soffits have been repaired. And the only thing that's left, we placed the pillars, the columns up front, and we'll hopefully paint those real quickly and get that So that's 99% done. Installation of a new light pole on the east parking lot. If you used to come up here at night out front and you parked on this side, you were in the darkness, okay? Gnashing of teeth, right? So to speak. And now it's really bright over there. So we're very grateful to Dan Suter, by the way, who spearheaded that and made that happen. Losing Dan, moving on to another church, left a real hole, I think, in our church as far as just a very special person. He was highly involved in small groups, a fabulous elder. Hated to see him go, but somebody else got blessed, right? And then continue work on the new sanctuary as funds allow. And that's pretty much what we did. And so these are the little check marks for those things that we were able to knock out. The youth outreach, adding to our monthly missions. Every year, folks, we're adding to that missions. Okay, every single year, the monies that come in here, we keep knocking that missions money up. Okay, so I think we're anywhere from 13 to 15%. It kind of varies on the year. And of course, then when we go to East Africa, it balloons higher because of all the designated giving. But we want to be a church that continues. And it doesn't matter. If it takes longer in the new building, if it takes longer on other things, so be it. But we need to be supporting missions overseas. God's blessed this church. He's blessed this country. And you have to think in terms of what are the special gifts God has given you for the body. And I'm thinking of the worldwide body of Christ. And he's given us a lot of financial blessings. Well, we've got to share that because too many Christians are struggling, barely surviving. So we want to always be involved with that. We continued our focus, as I said, on Bible teaching. So it's good to be able to check that. You want to be able to check that every single year, you know. And then also installation of the light pole we did. And as I mentioned, we're going to continue to work on the sanctuary. We did that last year, and I think I have a picture later for you. So 2022, what can we expect for 2022? What are we shooting for? Now, some of these are going to be the very same things. I mean, you don't want to change something that's right, that you're doing, right? If you got a ball team that's doing well, you don't come in and change everything on the team. Finish East Africa mission. We're going to just keep going on that one. I mean, we've already got the tickets. We had some really good meetings last week. I think we had 3 different meetings. We're looking right now. We're getting close to that 20 number as far as how many people will go over to East Africa. So the thing is you'll notice it changed a little bit. It says finish East Africa church plant plus plant another church because we're behind. So the goal is we're going to go there. We're going to do some work at the church that we paid to have done a couple years ago. And we wanted to do the evangelism. So we're going to go there for a little bit. We'll probably split the group up and some will go there. And there'll be, you know, a special time with that new church. And then they're also going to be doing our own church plant. So we're trying to play catch up is what we're trying to do. That's something to be praying about because, again, the plan is to go in June. We're really hoping that when that rolls around, there's not some other Greek alphabet, you know, COVID Zeta or something like that, and then they start shutting things down because we really want to go, okay? Youth outreach with Galveston Urban Ministries. I mean, that thing is just turning into a bonanza for us so that, again, the youth will go down there, and there's always a sizable amount of grown-ups. And by the way, if you are a grown-up and you want to help with that, I know that they always need grown-ups to go down there and help with that. So that might be something, if you've ever thought about, to jump into. Also, we want to offer a Spanish translation of our Sunday service. We've actually already started on this. The reason why is we have several folks in our church that are Spanish speakers only. And I've talked to several individuals. We're in the process of purchasing some type of system that we can use where you'd have somebody translating in another room, watching from one of our video, our TVs in the other room, and then folks in here would have earbuds where they're getting it in Spanish. That's our goal. We want to get Spanish speakers to be able to feel comfortable here. I don't know if some of you haven't been here long enough, but several years ago when Pam Howard was our gal in charge of children's ministry, we did a lot of ministry, VBS downtown, and part of the problem was we had several families that wanted to come here, but they were Spanish-speaking only, or their English was so rough they needed it in Spanish. And I think some of those families might have stuck. I mean, it would have been easier for them if they could have understood what in the world that preacher is talking about. Now, whether they liked what he was talking about would be a whole different thing, but could you even understand the guy? So that's something we want to see happen this year. Also, add to our monthly mission support. Folks, that's not going to go away. Every single year, you're going to see that popping up there. Add to the missions, add to the missions, add to the missions. Okay, we just think that's critical. See more people participate in D4A or small groups. Again, you know, if COVID raises its ugly head and people are afraid to have folks over, that can slow that down. But the hope is that those dinner for eight start rolling again, as well as some small. We have several small groups, but some of them, you know, have kind of shied away from meeting as much or slowed down a little bit. So we're hoping that that gets back to normal. We'd like to grow a discipleship program. And again, that's a little bit dependent on how safe people feel. And continue our focus on Bible teaching at all levels. Again, that's not going to go away. And by the way, for instance, we have a Zoom that goes for, we have several individuals that still don't feel comfortable coming here to Grace in the Morning because of physical issues and whatnot. And if that's the case, we've actually got, I know Alan has a Zoom Bible study for several folks that are that you know well that just don't feel capable to come here Sunday morning. So we're going to continue in one way or the other. As far as facility goals, we're going to seal coat our parking lot. The only reason we put that up there is since you drive on it, you appreciate if it's not falling apart. You do that every 3 to 5 years, and your parking lot, especially asphalt, will last a whole lot longer. Continue work on the new sanctuary as funds allow. That will be talked about more by Alan, but our building is, because of Hurricane Harvey and because of tightening of restrictions in the Fort Bend County and such, it's turning out to be more expensive than we originally hoped for. And so moving into that is going to be a little longer than what we hoped for. So we're going to continue to work along, again, with the funds that we have. We're not going to go out and get in some massive debt. If it just means that, okay, we get a little tighter in here sometimes, so be it. And if we have to go to 3 services one day, so be it. But we're going to have a sanctuary eventually, and the idea will be that we won't be owing any money on it. And finally, add additional play area lighting behind the FLC. That probably doesn't mean anything to many of you, but if you're somebody that likes to play back there on youth night or something like that, we have the human foosball, the Gaga pit. You got a field there for throwing a football, and especially when it warms up, the youth are back there or other kids, they like to be able to see when they throw the football. And it's nice to be back. And plus, it's safer. It's safer. And so we're in the process of hooking up some lights back there to really brighten up that area. So those are the different facility goals that we have. Okay, just to let you know, last year when I presented this, you didn't have the building. I mean, I think we were just at a foundation level. We were working on that and such. And so if you look from way above, I think we got this from Don Golden or somebody, or maybe it's Google Maps, I'm not sure, but you can see where our new sanctuary is, and that's an approximate sign. You can see the detention pond over there. The detention pond, of course, is for all the water runoff, which we were forced to put in place there. So this is basically, what the goal would be. You can see how the driveway would come in and then loop underneath the porch over there. And so when it's rain or inclement weather, you could be dropped off, and then you go back out on the other way. So it's kind of a horseshoe there. And eventually, depending on the amount of people, then we would add parking over there, and that's where the parking lot would be. If you were here last year, you've seen all these same pictures. But again, this just gives you an idea of what the plan is. When we get there, that's God's timing. That's God's timing. But you want to start planning ahead, because what you don't want, and what we've seen with this is, had we waited till now or another year to even do this, building costs have gone through the roof, okay? So it's good to go ahead and start doing so, even if you're not ready for several years, because otherwise it's going to be far, far more expensive when you do get to it. So it doesn't bother us one bit that might be a shell there for a little while and might be several years. When I was up at Huntsville, we had a shell for the, it was to be the new sanctuary, and that thing was there for years, and we just waited until we had the money to do it, and then when we finally did it, it was a real deal. But the thing is you don't have to be in a big hurry, and we're not in a big hurry. So with that, I'm going to hand this over to Alan, and he's going to talk about the budget, and then we will be doing some voting on the elders and the deacons. Alan, you ready? Okay, come on up here if you would.
Advance this slide.
Yep. That's okay. That should be where I want to be. Good morning, everyone. So I have a couple of handouts. I just am going to call your attention to them. So as we work through this next presentation, you'll know what I'm referring to. We're all on the same page. So a couple of weeks ago, you had a big handout. That's the budget. We'll get to that last today. That was handed out. We're looking at our 2021 spend and what we'll be asking to be voted on in 2022. So that is one item. And then went with that were the nominations for both deacon and elder. And you'll see the pictures of everybody who is up. And in just a second, and I'm going to ask the men to kind of come down here and start handing out the ballots, because we're going to be doing deacons and elders first. And Dave already called it to your attention. I'm going to call it to your attention again. It's the honor system, but I'm looking out here and I'm thinking, yep, I pretty much know everybody here. Only the members of the church may vote, please. That way we're doing it per the Constitution. That would be good. Now, what we have on our list today is you'll see on the ballot, and the ballot is going to be all in one. This is the ballot. So it's all the voting goes on the one page for deacon and elder. On the left is yeses, on the right is noes. We're having them handed out now, true, and it'll be tallied by people who are not on the ballot. So we'll have it tallied up by independent persons. Now, a couple of things that I'm going to call to your attention just by observation. Keith Alley is not on the ballot this year. He is rolling off the Board of Elders this year. So, Keith, I want to personally thank you for all of your efforts on our behalf, because and there will be yet again another celebration of Keith's life with us here shortly, but not today. I'm serious. Keith has been a valued partner, and he's challenged us and has made us a sharper elder board because of that. Additionally, Sean Corrigan and Curtis Cother are also going to stand aside for their own reasons this year. Of course, Sean has been the deacon chair for the last couple of years after John Wagner didn't want that role anymore because of his work at GICF and other places. We really want to thank Sean for his behind-the-scenes quiet leadership. And Curtis, who's trying to hide right now as he's scurrying down the back aisle here, he also is stepping down here because due to their children, they're going to be doing some other things at a different church. So just call that to your attention. Let's give those guys a round of applause, too. So one more piece as the votes are being handed out. I want to thank a number of people who helped make this meeting possible. One is Pam White, who's been working remotely for us, but hasn't missed a trick as far as the work and support of pulling together our financials and the like. Wendy Albert, who has been working diligently in the office on a part-time basis because she has another role right now, but she stepped up her hours and she is really part of the mainstream admin of our church. And Wendy, we really do appreciate that because she made this all happen today. And Cheryl Milliken, who is also filled in a new role. She was added this year because of Pam's working remotely. Cheryl Milliken is also in the office. If you call into the, you might hear a new voice. It's Cheryl Milliken, and just so you can say, know who it is, and we really appreciate the Millikens' support in that as well. So as the votes go through here now, I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider the ballots before you. The men, after you are finished your voting, are going to collect them, and the votes will be tallied while we go through the rest of the business of the budget in our meeting, because I'll have a little longer presentation about what that budget's about, and we'll explain that a little bit more. Okay. John Hawkins, how are we doing there, bud?
we're good. So please prayerfully consider your ballots, mark your choices, and then the men will come back and they will collect them, and then they'll take them over into the kitchen area and they'll be doing a tally with independent vote counters. Okay. I also have a ballot and I'm going to mark mine too. Okay, very good. There's been a request, thank you, Curtis, to introduce people who are up for nomination. The new fellows, we have Steve Snyder on deacons. Steve, would you stand up, please? You'll see Steve around a lot because he's in every Sunday school and he's at the men's breakfast. And we also, remain standing, Steve. No, this is good. And then Patrick Lamazny, will you please stand up as well for deacon? Cal Bogart, who is a returning elder nomination. Cal's in the back. Can you stand up for everybody, gentlemen? All right. We're also adding Jeff Miller. There he is in the back, and he's got his hands there, who's also a returning elder. And Jim Albert, who you all know, Jim, from youth and everything else he's doing there. And if you don't know the rest of us, I'm not going to ask them to stand. I'm sorry. They've been here too long. You should know them by now, okay? All right. I'm just saying. Dave, of course, is like you say, what about Dave? Well, Dave, by constitution, is always an elder, just so you know that. So you can vote against him if you want to, but it really won't make any difference. Just saying. Thank you, Curtis. All right, we've finished that piece of business. Now what I'd like to do, and there'll be another vote in a minute because there's going to be a vote for a ballot, but first we're going to present the budgets and things to us. So what I want to do is I'll advance a slide. By magic, it appears good. All right, I'm going to do the 2021 highlights. The information that you'll be seeing here comes from that large balance sheet, which I also have. I have the exact same one as y'all, so that we can, if there's any questions, I can refer back to that. Here's a couple of the points that I really wanted to make about this. Last year, our budget was $872,300. That's what it takes to run the church. That includes all of our general operations, our staff, the maintenance on the campus, and it also includes some of our East Africa missions giving, which I'll get into a little bit more in a moment. Sir? The request has been from Keith. Do we have all of your votes, please? Anyone who has not turned a vote in? Oh, there's another one. Yes. Thank you, Keith. So we had an approved budget of $872,300, and I'd like to tell you that that we were trying to be good stewards, and I think that's the case. Year over year, compared to the previous year, that was a reduction in the budget. In fact, on the bottom of your sheet, you can see the rolling spending and budgets that we had year over year for the last 6 years. So last year was a slight reduction. And we included in there $27,900 for East Africa missions giving, which was a reduction for this year of 2021. Normally it's a little bit higher, and you'll see in a moment we're restoring that this year. The reason being is because we had to cancel our church plant, and Paul Mitchell and Keith and the others involved with the missions, they were being judicious. He says, we don't need those monies right now. We will return those. So they didn't include them in the budget for 2021. So we took a reduction there. So against that, you'll see that we are had income, all income, of slightly over $1 million, $1,030,000, give or take, which includes general offerings, Those monies that come in for ministries, so like when we go to a camp or a retreat, people pay money to go to those as well. Those are offsets that go into the budget. And there's designated giving as well, both for the new sanctuary, which I'll speak to in a moment here about how those monies were used. We try, as on the elders board, to honor all designated gifts. We try very, very hard. We can't always guarantee that, but we can certainly try. And in this case, we're able to honor that. Our expenses, just what we spent versus what our budget was, we were $69,200 under our spending budget, which was a good stewardship. Now, part of that was we didn't have a lot of capital spent on maintaining our buildings on campus last year. In fact, it was a modest year. Everything was running well, and just due to the point that Dave made before about roofs and things of that nature there, we held off, hoping that supply chain and things would catch up. So you'll see in a moment we're going to do a new roof on one of our buildings here shortly. So we had $69,000 under our actual planned spending. If you're saying, oh, Alan, how did you get that number? If you look at that column, it says expenses, and you'll see 803056, and compare it to the one two over where it says 2021 budget, 872, at $69,000 and change. That's where that number came from. And we increased our missions this year, even though we were under budget. We increased our missions giving, general missions, and what we donate to the East African missions from the church. It's been increased to $143,440. It was a good year for missions giving. You can see some of the detail over there. There is an actual line item for missions. It's toward the top of your table. It's the fourth line down of numbers of where you'll see that we actually spent $115,440 on general missions. Add to that the $27,900, and you'll get the total number there. Thank you for your generosity, people. That's what really makes the building, the sanctuary, that's not the church. You're the church. And on your hearts, there's been a lot of generosity, and we sincerely appreciate that. We're going to continue the long-term support of East Africa Missions. Last year, we sent, even though we had to upset the trip and it didn't go off as planned, $70,800 still made it across for a new building, a pastor's house, and all the materials and things to make that church go. So that was a good start for this year. And as Dave already shared in our 2022, we have that to be finished and another one to be done. So this is a good thing. For those of you who are considering going to East Africa Missions, that's what you'll be participating in. Some work from before and some work moving forward. Lastly here, I wanted to touch on the new building next door. You see that it's been completely dried in this year. We had structures up, and it was somewhat roughed in last year. It's dried in now. And we are going to be moving forward on other phases I'll touch on in just a second. We had a budget last year of $300,000 that was approved for spending. Now, for those of you who are somewhat new, this is not coming out of our operating budgets. We actually have this a savings, if you will. It's not designated for the sanctuary, but we have a checking account and a money market account. We call that savings. Those monies came out of savings. We are not raising hands and doing a bunch of pledges. I couldn't find the word, Dave. Thank you. He's reading my mind there. He knew I was looking for that. For that, we're taking this out of savings. And we're not going to do loans, we're not doing bonds. That's not how this church runs, but I think you understand that. But last year we had a budget of $300,000. We spent $275,000 of that. When you see down in the table, and you'll see that way down at the bottom, you'll see, there's a new sanctuary called out there. You'll see the $274,755 actually spent. That was finishing in building, and that was the materials and the contractors. And there were some holdovers as things bridge over from 2020 into 2021, some of those monies as well to finish that. We were under and within our budget that we asked for last year there. And you'll see the $45,500 in designated gifts that came from members of this church. Those monies, although they weren't put into the superstructure at this point in time, they have enabled something very special for us, and we needed it. And that is, we started in December, and thank you for Keith and Charlie and Patrick Whitaker. I don't know where they all are, but they've been working in getting an architect, because we're at the place now where we need a very detailed plan for that building. Let me explain a little bit more about that, why it's so important. We've got the structure up. We knew what the footprint wanted. Those things were pretty straightforward. Now we need to get everything in shape where we need the architect so that we can have the Americans with Disabilities Act requirements met, so that we can have the fire system. That's what Dave was referring to before. There's new requirements in this county that weren't there before. You need to have a fire system installed, I mean sprinklers. We're going to, of course, have to have an air conditioner package, electricity, and all that. Why we need the architect right now, and we're going to be spending, you know, some of those monies for that, is we're going to have to do chunks, because you just don't do part of an electrical install. You have to do it all, and you need all that money right then and there. So the plan that comes from the architect's detailed drawings, renderings, and all the elements that we need to will create the timeline where we can then designate the money chunks that we'll need for each of the subsequent phases so that we can actually do better planning. Because right now, it's a little bit vague until we get an architectural drawing that the county will accept, because we have to work with the county. That's the government, and that's what we have to do. So those monies were used for that, and we really appreciate those who had a heart for saying, I'm going to give designated gift for that building. Just so you know, and this is just kind of a call out, the elders, the deacons, we do not know who gives money at this church. It's completely firewalled. We don't know it. We've never seen it. We never will. So I say that, I know we speak in generalities because I don't know who they are, but you know, God does. And we thank you for your generous giving once again. So that is 2021 in a nutshell of where we are, and the details are in the list here. Now, when we come to 2022, and I'm going to push the slide right now. Oh, good. Thank you for backing me up if I didn't do that correctly. We're asking for slightly more money this year, $877,800. That's just a little bit over the $872,300. It's a little bit more. And I'm going to explain to you why it's increased a little tiny bit. It's a little tiny bit. First of all, we're increasing our giving to missions yet again. The budget this last year was $110,000. The budget for The budget for general missions for this year will be $115,000. You'll see that on the very right-hand column, fourth one down. $115,000 is what we're budgeting for general missions. In addition, we've restored the East Africa missions to its traditional $35,550 versus $27,900 last year. That's been an increase. So that's $12,000 or $13,000 of increased spending that we're asking for just for missions. Yet we're only asking for a few thousand dollars more than that because we're taking some other offsets. We think we sharpened our pencil. We've asked every ministry, you know, what can you do? What do you need? And we've either stayed flat, even though we know what's happening with inflation right now, but we think we can do this very, very reasonably. We've sharpened our pencils, and people said, I can do this. I can do this. Now, I'm going to call out Lauren Wagner. I don't know if she's sitting here or not. I can't see right now. But, you know, she and I worked, you know, on this together for the women's ministry. And she said, yeah, I could probably do a little bit less than that. And she didn't take much. And the men's ministry, you know, Pete and all that, we took a little bit less too. With this proviso, this caveat, this qualifier, if she has a second retreat that she hasn't been able to do, she's wanted this for several years, we'll do that second retreat. We budgets are plans, and we try to, you know, follow a plan because it gives us guidance and it gives us a way of, you know, being good stewards, but we will take exceptions to budget for good ministry. So, you know, when you see something that's flat or maybe it's gone down a little bit, it doesn't mean it's necessarily permanent. We'll try to do it, but if we can't do it, we need to increase it, we certainly will. So I want you to know how we think about this, because the ministry is really, really important. Like the children's ministry, that is one that did increase a little bit for this year. It was, in our opinion, and I think Amy would share that, it was too low. And then, you know, we increased it a little bit, and we had to increase it yet again. So we think we're about where it needs to be this year, moving forward, which includes the VBS. It's going to include Awana, includes all the Sunday school materials, all the little knickknacks, all the little things that make that go, and the materials and the books and the studies. If we need a little bit more, we'll do it. If it comes in a little bit less, it goes into the savings. You think about it when in the whole picture, it's like any household. If I have extra money, it can go into savings. I can use it for something else. I can use it for a kid's education. I could use it for retirement. I can use it for whatever. Anything that we have in savings, which is why we're trying to sharpen pencils, goes next door and finishing that building. That's why we're kind of like, okay, there's always a healthy tension, we call it, between the two. So that's how we kind of are thinking about that. And then, you know, we had those ministries in place. We had the offsets. This year, because you'll see that, oh gosh, Alan, but you underspent the buildings and grounds, capital spending and maintenance significantly last year. It's true, we did. When we do that, that's where some of the savings comes from for the building next door. But the other part of it is, this year we do have some foreknowledge that we absolutely need to spend some money. First of all, there's an insurance inspection that is literally ongoing as we speak. Charlie Mahler, thank you, Charlie, for that, is helping guide us through that. They have a right, because they insure us, to say, we need to look at all of your stuff, electrical, air conditioning, and roofs and things of that nature there. So we're going through that right now. We know that in a few years, at least, the coffee house roof needs to be replaced. Well, we're going to do it now. It's time. Why let it leak or cause a problem or cause other damage? It's at that place now. It needs to be done. Those are monies that are budgeted. We do have that building next door, and looking forward to it and walking over to it. Right now it's uncovered, and there's no sidewalks and things of that nature. We're going to be putting in walkways, you know, that are going to cover that so that people stay out of the rain and the like. That'll be part of that. And Dave already mentioned earlier there about the seal coating on that. Sounds like, I seal coat a driveway. Yeah, you have. That's a big parking lot. And actually, there'll probably be some macadam work that goes with that and other monies there. So we've left that budget alone. For now, we took about $5,000 out of it. That was part of our offset. You'll see a reduction there down below on the very, very bottom there for buildings and grounds. We took a slight reduction in the capital improvements area. But if we don't need all of those monies, then that goes into savings for next door. So that's just what I wanted to share in a very general sense on our budget. And before we go to vote, because I think that there's so much information there, sometimes people have questions about that, I am going to pause and open up to the congregation. Are there any questions? I have used my 17-second pause, plus a little bit more, which is, that's a teaching trick. If you ask a question, you don't, you know, answer your own real quick. You let people, you know, think in case they want to ask something about this. So, what? Josh. So the question was, and I'll repeat it so that everyone can hear it, Josh. We have a large amount of money coming in. It was like $1,030,000 coming in, and which is more coming in than that was going out. Is that going into our money market account? And the answer is yes. It goes against that and against existing spend on that building throughout the year. So we had money in savings. We can forecast where we might be. God has been really good to us, but we don't assume what we're going to ever get. We spent some monies out at the same time they're pouring in throughout the year. And yes, and I'm going to actually add to your question a little bit, Josh. We have a safety level that we always want to maintain. I'm not going to go into that right now, just in case we hit a dry spell for whatever reason. It's good to have some money set aside that we won't go down below. But When you see in our ask here for our budget for this year for the building next door, which is right up there of $225,000, we know we can comfortably spend that because of that extra money that Josh just referred to coming into that, which will not go below our safety level. So that the church, even if we hit a dry spell, we can continue normal operations without, you know, missing a beat. Did I hit it, Josh? So that's the only way we can get money is, of course, a delta between what we actually spend to run the church and all the moving pieces and put it into savings. That's just like running, you know, my budget at home. What comes in versus what goes out, what's left over is savings, and I can use it for whatever purposes that I want. It's the same for us here. The question always becomes, and I'll just kind of say it right now, well, when's that church going to be ready next door, the building next door? Well, it's going to be a few years. Because we're about, you know, probably halfway through our spend on it. You know, to finish that thing out and to really build out the rooms and all the other pieces and the infrastructure like the fire systems and all the pieces there, we're about halfway through. The building shells up and we're good. So this will be a conversation that won't go away. You know, you'll be hearing it every year moving forward. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Follow-up question. Go ahead, Josh. Very good. The question was, because of the budget, we have Charles Johns leading worship right now, and we appreciate Charles's in that role. And does that affect the budget? Is that the question? Is that your point? Okay. So Dave and I met with the praise team. I did it once with the praise team in general. Dave met with them twice on a couple of things. Before we met with Charles and Josh and Joe. I was thinking about your son for a second there. I apologize. Joe and also Sherwin about, you know, how do we maybe do this? And with a little bit of encouragement, Charles says, I will take the lead for right now. The elders are absolutely supportive of this. If it doesn't work well and you can't continue to do this and run a regular job and a household and all the things he has going on in life there, we may have to hire a praise team leader. So that's why that budget was left alone. Praise team leadership, for where that is budgeted is in staff. The rest of those monies that you see there is praise team. That's what it costs to run that. So we are trying to divine what's going to happen with that. We don't know. We may need additional praise team guest leaders as well. Everyone up here, for the most part, is, you know, volunteers, but not all. And that's what it takes, you know, some thought and some money on that. So it's a little bit uncertain, but that's what is going on there. And we're just caught right there on that that cusp of a bubble. We left that one alone. You're welcome. All right, there's no further questions. We have, for our members, a up or down, yes or no, for or against checkbox for the budget. And then meanwhile, I'll be expecting a total of deacons and elders. I was just letting Curtis move down the aisle there. I'm pleased to announce that all deacons and all elders were voted in for the 2022 year. Thank you all for your votes and for the confidence that comes with that. Meanwhile, they're going to be tallying the the budget count for up or down and against. So, Dave, if you don't mind, just in case there's any questions about the plans for this year and all that, would you mind joining me up here and we just kind of see, are there any other things you all wanted to talk about? Because we have a minute here where we just need to spend some time.
Well, one thing I really should have said earlier is this, is I know, but depending on your background, when we vote for elders and deacons and such, I'm not sure how clear that is. And usually every year I say this, and this year I didn't a few weeks ago, but the purpose of elders is to provide the spiritual guidance and leadership for the church. Depending on your background, this might be a church you've never even seen elders and deacons. It could be you were a church you only had deacons or trustees, or the pastor was the only elder or whatever. But here at Grace, we have elders, and the purpose of the elders is to, of course, handle the spiritual issues pertaining to the church. And as a result, every elder here has certain ministries that he kind of oversees, so to speak. And I'll give you an easy one. For instance, youth ministry. Johnny is our elder who keeps the tightest watch on that ministry and works with Zach. All the other elders are included too, and we are paying attention, and he regularly repeats to us on the, informs us on the elder board how things are going with the youth, but he's the elder that really watches over that. And various other elders have other ministries, whether it's men's ministry or women's ministry. I have the dubious distinction of watching over women's ministry. That's a ministry I don't dare touch. I just let that thing go. Okay, yeah. But that's the purpose for the elders. And of course, the elders also handle the financial, as far as the big picture, the budget and such. The purpose of the deacons, these guys are the hands-on. They're the guys that makes this place run. So when you get here in the morning, it's not burning hot. They've got the air conditioning going in the summer. They got the heat going in the winter. They open the place up. They lock the place up. There's deacons. We have work days, and the deacons are always very conspicuous in that. So those are the guys that do it. And they also do helping widows in the church. They go to people's houses, women who are perhaps single. So they're two very distinct jobs, and they're two very important jobs. And so, I should have mentioned that earlier when we're voting for those individuals. If you're sitting there wondering, well, what exactly is the difference between the two? That's the difference between the two. And we are so appreciative of our elders and our deacons here, because without either group, you would really be struggling. And I've had numerous occasions where I've had people come into this church and say, I've never been in a church with elders. And we had a big mess at our church because one guy was running the whole show. And he made a mistake, and so there's a protection. And by the way, it's also biblical. I mean, Paul always wrote to elders. You don't see the word elder singular in the New Testament except on one occasion that's talking to a specific elder. It's always elders. You have a group of elders, and the pastor has no more jurisdiction or no more authority than the other elders. So elder-run church and our deacon board, and that's why who you vote for is so important, because they're the guys who make the church go as far as the leadership. And of course, we also rely very heavily on women in leadership as well, because they oftentimes are the backbone of many of these ministries, is the gals who jump in and make things go. So that's all I was going to share, unless you had something else. Yes, Christy. I really flew through that fast. Yeah, I messed up on that thing. You want to go backwards, right? Yeah, I showed this last year. I don't know why I forgot it this year, but here it is right here. This is what you're looking for? Yeah. There's 635 chairs there. Whenever you build a new building, rule of thumb, always build twice of your population. Otherwise, you could be building again. So that's why there's roughly 320 or so people here at Grace between the two services. So you double that and you're around 635 or 640. Obviously, if you look in there, we wouldn't put all the chairs in there immediately. You'd have a nice big space at the back for lots of fellowship. And as time goes on, you could also see you could put in more chairs and have less aisles or whatever. And then you have the bathrooms, the nursery over on the top, and then you have three classrooms down below, one huge classroom, and then two smaller classrooms. And so as a result, Sunday morning, especially for folks who have a hard time getting around, going back to that Berean's room is quite a chore, especially if it's inclement weather. And so obviously you'd have these classes over in the new building. So that's the proposal. You'll notice the foyer is huge. When we built a church up in Huntsville, the one mistake I made was not a big enough foyer. You want a nice big foyer. You can do all sorts of things out there. And I was, you know, when we advertise different things, missions boards, all sorts. I mean, you want a nice big foyer. And we've already got some furniture for the foyer that we received several years ago from Mazda through Briscoe. So we've got even some of the furniture that's set to go. Looks like we got some numbers here.
Budget's approved. Thank you very much. I will mention one thing, because Dave called it to our attention earlier, and I admitted it as my mistake in my my remarks. Our giving for missions right now is at 16.4% of our budget. Not the total money that came in, 16.4% of our budget. This has been a long-term mission, you know, for this church to increase our missions. When I started as an elder in 2015, that was right in front of me by Jeff Miller, and it was continued by Pete, and the elders are continuing moving that forward. We've increased it, and will continue to increase it. We actually have a number in mind. We'd like to see 20% someday. We're going to keep working toward that. And that doesn't include the number I just gave you right now. That does not include all the additional money that will come in for East Africa Missions designated giving and all that. So you're a generous church, and we want to say thank you for that, and thank you for this time, and thank you for your approval of the budget. And at this point, I'm going to say, Dave, it's back to you, if there's anything you wanted to say in closing remarks.
I just want to reiterate thank you. I know for some folks this has been a tough year financially, tough for other reasons, and yet every single year this church proves with their pocketbook their devotion to God. And we just want to say thank you for that, because it allows us to reach peoples overseas. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be a whole lot of talk about the color of our chairs or our carpet or our walls or even our new building. It's going to be the people that we reach throughout the world, and the people that you've reached throughout the world through this church will be there to greet you. And that's why we think missions are so important. And I'm going to disagree with Alan for a second. My goal is 50%. I've read different pastors, and they have 50% of everything that comes in that church goes into missions. If I'm here long enough, maybe we'll get it. But 20% sounds fabulous right now, because quite frankly, that's not a number most churches even come close to approaching.
I like it.
Okay, I got a vote there. I guess it passes. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the way you've blessed this church. We don't deserve the blessings that you have given us, but you have been gracious to us. We thank you for a group of people who put you first and who desire to see your kingdom spread, even if it means tightening their belts in some ways so that the gospel can go out to other places. We're grateful for the way you've used grace, and we pray that for 2022, you'd continue to bless our efforts. We do pray that we'd be able to go to East Africa and plant another church in Uganda. We pray your hand upon that, and we continue to pray your protection over our church, that we'd be unified, working together to build the kingdom shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, with our hearts devoted to you. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.